When Jesus saw the multitude of people scattered as sheep without a shepherd, he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." That's in Matthew chapter 9. Today on Through the Bible, we'll get insight into that picture from our Old Testament study in Amos. Our teacher, of course, is Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to come aboard the Bible bus. We're nearing the end of Amos. Today's study is in Amos 7 and 8. So if you've brought your Bible along, get it open as I read some great letters from our fellow busmates. This first one comes from a friend in Valrico, Florida, who writes, "I'm 93 years old and have been through Dr. McGee's programs since the 1960s. In my lifetime, I have seen many changes, but never the Word of God. It is the bedrock of our lives. Thank you for leading me closer to heaven. I'm excited at the thought of seeing Jesus soon. May God continue to bless you." Our next letter comes from a listener in Cleves, Ohio, who shares this. "Thanks be to God who knows all things. I praise God for how His Spirit works through this ministry in my life and in others' lives in every country of the world. I'm thankful the Lord has blessed me so I can be a blessing to someone else. Realizing how the lost are coming to Jesus at such a time as this makes my heart glad. Thanks for the word. I'm on the bus for over 20 years. Speaking of the Bible bus, another fellow traveler in Blacksburg, Virginia shared this. "I am 3 years on the Bible bus and loving every mile of the way. I know this has to be costing quite a bit for folks to ride the gospel highway. The Holy Spirit is urging me to help now that I am a child of God. The trip has been so wonderful, and I want others to have a chance to see the sights while they can. So I'm enclosing a little money for fuel. May many more see the truth and have eternal life through Christ Jesus." Those letters are so encouraging. Why don't you drop us an email at BibleBus@ttb.org and tell how God is using this study in your life. Let's pray now as we begin. You're a kind and merciful Father, Lord. Thank you for your word as it goes out today. May those who need to find life and hope hear now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, friends, as we come here to actually the last verse of chapter 7, we are in the last division of this book of Amos, Visions of the Future, and this was a little historic interlude that was included here, and this history actually tells us a great deal about Amos, although it's very brief, and it was when the priests of the golden calf, and you can imagine the type individual that he was. He was a hard preacher. He said what the king wanted him to say. And I expect that he was very cultured, used very flowery language. And I'm sure that he was a good backslapper. He wasn't a pulpit pounder, but a backslapper. And he could, of course, entertain. He had charisma, and he was very attractive in many ways. And old Amaziah was chairman of the pulpit committee, and he went to the king and actually lied about Amos. And then he came to Amos, and it says, "O thou seer, go flee away into the land of Judah." In other words, get out of town and get lost. We don't want you here anymore. You've been speaking in the king's chapel, and after all, you're just not up to it. You're not the caliber preacher to be in the pulpit there. Well, I think that by now, if you've been following our study, we agree, I hope we agree, that Amos was thoroughly capable of filling the pulpit, and he was a great preacher of God, and they knew when they listened to him, they were getting the Word of God. And that's always a comfort to people. When they have a pastor that's giving the Word of God, and they know they're getting the Word of God. And it is something that is very important, I think, in these days. Now, they talk to this man like this, and I want you to notice that Amos is a very reserved man. He's not a fanatic. He's not an extremist. He confesses. He said, I'm no prophet. I recognize that. I've never been to the seminary. And I'm not even a prophet's son. I'm from the country. I'm a country boy. I have no background whatsoever. I'm a herdman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. But the Lord took me as I was following the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. And I think that a man should be very sure that he has a call from God if he's going to be in the ministry. If there's any doubt in his mind, he ought not to go in the ministry. I've heard it put like this, that if you can do anything else, why don't go in the ministry? Well, I don't like it quite like that, because a great many of us could have done something else, by the way, and might have preferred doing it. The important thing is, did God call you? And if God has called you, then may I say that we ought not to let anything stand in the way. Now, he gives a prophecy, and he has a prophecy for Amaziah. And I want to tell you, here is strong medicine, what he says to this man. Now, I hear a great many people say to me, Dr. McGee, you're very harsh at times on certain people or certain groups or certain churches. And I'm not really against any of these. I can truly say I carry no bias or hatred in my heart at all against any of these that I mention. I'm trying to say what the Word of God says. The argument given to me is that as a Christian, you ought to be nice and sweet. You ought not to indulge in this type of thing of giving out that which is harsh. It's love today, you know, and love, love, love. You want to listen to Amos now as he talks to Brother Amaziah? Will you listen to him? Verse 16, I'll read first of chapter 7 of Amos. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord. Now he says he has a word from God to this man Amaziah. Now will you listen to this? Thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall go into captivity away from his land. Now, my friend, that is a very disturbing prophecy, and it's a very strong prophecy. And it was a true prophecy, because when Assyria came down, this is what they did with the women. They were made harlots, and the sons and daughters were destroyed, and those that were not were taken into captivity. And this old priest of Baal, of the golden calf, he was taken into Assyrian captivity. And again, we could say, I'm sure his word would have been on his deathbed, that of old Cardinal Wolsey, who served Henry VIII. And if he hadn't have gotten sick and died, he would have been taken to the tower and his head would have been taken off. But he played politics with Henry VIII and tried to, you know, not really tell him what the Word of God had to say. And as a result, on his deathbed, he could say, if I had only served my God like I serve my king, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I'm sure old Amaziah could say that. If we don't give out the Word of God, those of us that are called to the ministry today, there's no reason for us to point our fingers at Washington and say that you're failing up yonder in Washington, you're a bunch of politicians, and you're jeopardizing our nation today. May I say to you, my friend of the ministry, if you're not giving out the Word of God, there is no traitor like that in this land. If you're called to be a minister, you're called to be a minister of the Word of God. and you're called to give that out. And if you're not giving that out, you are a traitor to the cause of Christ today. May I say, that's pretty strong also. I'm sure I'll get some letters on that, but what we are interested in are letters. We hope all of you'll write. Now, we come to chapter 8, and here we have another one of the visions, and this vision takes in the entire 8th chapter, and it's a vision of a basket of summer fruit. This is the 4th vision, and it's very important to get the meaning of this, and it will help us in the interpretation of passages that come later on, especially of things that our Lord said. I'm reading verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God shown unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. Now, there's a great deal that can be said about a basket of summer fruit. I love fruit. To me, all fruits are delicious. I enjoy the fruits of California and of Florida, the citrus. I enjoy the fruits of Northern California and Oregon and Washington and across the country and wherever I am. I love the fruit. There's nothing as attractive as a basket of summer fruit. But that basket of summer fruit has a message. First of all, it represents a harvest. It represents that the tree is no longer producing. My apricot tree this past year had some lovely apricots upon it. But there's no use going out there and looking now. The limbs are bare, and there's no fruit on it at all. The harvest is past. It's over. And there'll not be any there until next year, or at least until later on this year. And the basket of summer fruit speaks of that which is delightful and delicious, but it also speaks of the end of the harvest. And it also speaks of the fact that it can spoil in a hurry. When we were in World War II, a missionary from South America wrote us from back east that she was coming to the West Coast, and since she was a personal friend, she would be staying with us. She'd arrive on a certain day. Well, when she got to Chicago, that was the time you had difficulty getting reservations on the train. She found out she couldn't get on the train that she wanted to get on. The military had priority, and all reservations were picked up, and she was in the day coach, and there was no room for her at all. So she sent us a telegram she wouldn't be coming on the day, and it would probably be a week later before she'd be able to come. Well, we had prepared the guest room for her. Fact of the matter, I had gone out and picked some lovely apricots off of my tree, and I'd put a basket of apricots in her room. But when we got the telegram, we just closed the room. We forgot all about the basket of apricots. And then when the time came for her to come, we opened up the room. I want to tell you, the odor was not very pleasant. In fact, it took weeks to get the odor out of that room because rotten apricots are not very good, by the way. And a message is in a basket of summer fruit. What a dramatic and figurative illustration this is going to be. Now we're not through with it. Verse 2, and he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Now, you see, God again and again in these visions would change his mind. He wouldn't destroy him. He said, since Amos has prayed, and there must have been the godly remnant that always stood for God, they prayed, and God would not bring the judgment. But now, the basket of summer fruit says, the jig is up. You've come to the end of the line. Now the judgment will come. And harvest always speaks of that. Now, I have always felt that the passage that our Lord gave has been greatly misunderstood. He said, you remember, the harvest is great, the laborers are few. And a great many people interpret that to mean today that we are to go out and harvest. I don't understand the Word of God like that at all. May I say to you that today, harvest speaks of the end of a period, some period, and it speaks of an end of a dispensation. Now, the dispensation of law was coming to an end. Christ was going to the cross. Now he said, I need harvesters to go out today, and we're harvesting at the end of the age. But after he died on the cross, why, it's a different story. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Go ye into all the world and preach this gospel. Go into all the world and sow the seed. My business is just sowing seed. It's the Lord's business to do the converting. And we believe that the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and make a son of God when a man of God will use it. And that's all we're doing is just sowing seed. We're not harvesting. And a harvest speaks of judgment, speaks of an end of an age. Our business today is sowing seed. And very candidly, I wish I could get us all back doing the thing God's called us to do today, and the church is to sow seed, which is the Word of God, in the world today. Now, I've spent a little time with that because that's important to see, and I'll move rather hurriedly. He goes on to say here, and the songs of the temple shall be wailings in that day. In other words, a place to praise God and rejoice, become a place of wailing now. Saith the Lord God, there shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. In other words, they will be slain everywhere. The slain will be everywhere. And now verse 4, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. I don't want to go into this again, but I merely remind you of how many times Amos has talked about the poor. And I have emphasized it, maybe overemphasized it. But I happen to be on that side today. I'm not on the young side, but I sure have been on the poor side. And I remember my dad wearing overalls. He was a workman. And I have seen him on Saturday when he drew his paycheck. We bought groceries on credit. He went and paid the grocery. He paid the doctor. He paid the rent. And when all that was taken care of, I remember one Saturday he reached in his pocket because he always gave my sister and me a nickel, and he had only one nickel there. And he told me to go up to the store in the little town and to get a sack of candy. And I got gumdrops, and you could sure get a big sack in those days. And my sister and I divided those gumdrops. He died when I was 14, and I had to go to work. I had to get a permit for me to work, and I worked for 2 years. And finally, when I was 17, some folk, after I was converted and felt called to the ministry, they took an interest in me and helped me get through school. May I say to you, my friends, I'm for the poverty program, but not the one they're running today and have been for years. That puts money in the pockets of those that already have it. I'm for a poverty program that really is going to help the poor get on their feet and enable them to work. In that day, you see, they made the poor of the land to fail. That is, they were brought down to such a low poverty level they could never escape from it. And that is the condition, of course, of many in our land today. And so far, there's not been a program that has worked. And I'll tell you why it will never work until the right kind of people are running it. And that means Christian people. And that is the only way it's ever worked as far as this world is concerned. These people had turned from God, and the poor always suffer in a godless nation. That's been the story. And I don't think that can be successfully contradicted. Now, verse 5, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit? Even when they went through the rituals that God had given them, and they went through them, if you had gone among those people in that day, and especially down in Jerusalem at the temple, why, you couldn't understand what the Lord was talking about. Why, he says, why, these people are going through the rituals. They're doing what they're commanded. Yes, but their heart was far from him. Even when they went to the temple to praise God, they were so greedy, and covetousness had so possessed them like a disease that they would there sing the songs and at the same time think about business the next day and how they were going to cheat people. May I say to you, they not only carried their sin into the wheat, but they carried it even into the temple. What a picture that we have here. And again, he brings this up. This man knew what it was to be a poor man. And I want to say that maybe that's the reason I love this man Amos so much. He talks my language. He says the thing that I understand. He was poor. And some of us know what that means. Verse 6, that we may buy the poor for silver. They even had to sell themselves into slavery. And that was permitted in that land, even under the Mosaic system. But I tell you, God protected his people even then. And the needy for a pair of shoes. That's how cheap they were. Yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. That means seconds. That means those things that were leftovers. I never have felt right about taking up old clothes to help the poor in the church. I've never felt like giving them the leftovers of anything. I had a man that was a dairyman down in Georgia when I had the little church there. And he told me, he says, well, I come right by the seminary. That was during the summertime, and I was preaching in the little church out there. And he says, I generally have a quart of skim milk left over, and I'll leave it for you if you want it. And I told him even then when I could have used it, I said, no, thank you, sir. He would praise God that he was able to help the preacher by giving him a quart of skim milk. May I say to you how cheap and cheesy we can be with God in these matters. And that's exactly what these people were doing in that day. And my friend, God noted that. It was no accident that the Lord Jesus there that day, he sat and watched how the people gave in the temple. Somebody says, is that his business? You bet that's his business. That's his business today, friends. This is strong meat that we're looking at here. It's very harsh language, but God's speaking, friends, in this book here, and I think he's speaking loud and clear in these days in which we're living. All right, we'll have to leave off there. I do intend to finish next time the little book of Amos, and I'm sure many of you will heave a sigh and say amen. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Yes, the Lord is speaking loud and clear today. Do you hear him? The warnings that Amos gave to the people of Israel are also warnings for those today who haven't surrendered to the Lord Jesus as Savior. Earlier this month, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. The real celebration is the fact that Jesus came to die for our sins. He suffered God's wrath on the cross so that we don't have to. Jesus died in my place. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's the message that we're teaching all around the world in over 100 languages and dialects today. If you know Jesus is your Savior, would you pray for those who are listening but don't yet know him? Now, we're coming to the end of our study in Amos, so if you'd like to hear these studies again, we offer them in a CD album that also includes Dr. McGee's teaching on Hosea, Joel, Obadiah, and Jonah. Of course, you can always listen and download the messages on ttb.org as well. For sure, you'll want to get ready for our next study, back to the New Testament, to the book of 2 Peter. Download the notes and outlines online at ttb.org or get on the mailing list and be sent the notes and outlines along with Through the Bible's newsletter each month. Give us a call if we can help you out with any of these resources. The number is 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, as you may know, this broadcast is 100% listener supported. If God's used it to encourage you to walk with him, would you please help it continue with a gift of any amount? Oh, and a quick note about something new and fun that we think could really help Through the Bible. If you shop on Amazon.com, you can designate Through the Bible as your nonprofit organization of choice in a program called Amazon Smile. I use it myself. Then with every purchase you make on Amazon.com, they contribute a small percentage to Through the Bible. If you've got questions that we can help you answer about this or any other resource or giving opportunity, please call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or drop us an email at biblebus@ttb.org. Now this weekend, Through the Bible brings you two programs to supplement your weekday study of God's Word. The Questions and Answers broadcast with Dr. McGee's plain and simple and often profound answers to Bible questions, and then the Sunday sermon. This week, the message is called The Swan Song of Simon. To see if your station carries these programs or to listen online, visit us at ttb.org. And be sure to come back next week as we wrap up our study in Amos and begin our study through 2 Peter.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
This program's been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.